Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. Certainly good to be here. And I don't know if I can tie everything together that was mentioned that blessed me and seems to connect with service. I do think that we are living in the last times in maybe the very last of the last times. I'm not even sure which of the one of the girls was singing the fire song this morning. With all the smoke out there, I think it kind of brought that on. But makes us think soberly about the time in which we live. I'd like to speak about forgiveness and prayer again, and I don't remember. It was back, I actually think it was back in June, maybe the last Sunday in June, that I had talked about forgiveness and prayer. And so I've asked a couple of people to be critics about this subject and help me think through it. So one of them said, well, you missed the point. And that's what editors do, is they get hard on you and they say, well, you know, you talked about everything else, but you totally missed the point. Anyway, so I'm going to take another shot at it. One thing that happened last time is I ran out of time. I just did not get everything said that I wanted to, and so I think that was part of the problem. But I also realized that okay, so forgiveness, I know, and you know, the Bible says, we looked at Mark 11 and verse 23 and 24 and 25, and we want to look at that again, but we know that it says that when you're praying, you need to forgive. We know that, but how does it actually interact, and I needed to do a little bit more study, and that, I think, was actually very true. To tie that together and to be able to portray that to you. One of the things that I'm thinking about is the gospel. The gospel is a gospel of forgiveness. You see, the law that God had in place, and I don't know how to understand this, but God says in Hebrews, he talks about God found fault with the Old Testament law. I think it's just a human way of saying, now God knew all along that the law wasn't going to work. But it's a human way of explaining what happened with the Old Testament law, the law of justice. You sin and you die. And you think about the characters in the Old Testament that made it under the law. How many of them were there? So Moses was the one that brought the law. You think about Moses. Did Moses make it to the promised land under the law? He didn't make it. I don't know of anybody. You think of David. David was a man after God's own heart. He lived in the law, and he brought revival to God's people in astounding ways. Now, did David make it under the law? I don't think so. Now, there's a whole doctrinal thing with that. Jesus, when he died, the Bible says that he went and preached to the spirits in prison, and those Old Testament saints had a second chance. I don't know how to explain all that in a few minutes, but that's what I believe. They are saved by the blood of Christ just like we are, but it was a little different. It was a little different scenario. You and I aren't getting a second chance. I think that should be clear about that. But anyway, that's maybe a debatable subject, but that's what I believe about that. Is that Jesus went and preached to the spirits in prison, and Okay, so the law didn't work, but God has brought a new system through Jesus Christ, and it is the gospel of forgiveness. And I think that's important for us just to, we know that, but all are under the condemnation of sin. All have sinned, the Bible says. And, you know, when we're teenagers, we think that we're pretty perfect. And we work through this thing. I had to work through this thing. If I try hard enough, I'll be perfect. I don't know how many times I tried and failed before I finally figured out I'm not going to make it that way. You aren't going to make it that way either. The only way that we're going to make it is under the dispensation of forgiveness. That's the only way that we're going to make it. And I think it's important for us to focus on Jesus, how often he forgives me, and how often I mess up. Maybe a combination of those things. And he freely forgives. Every time he freely forgives, and he brings me back into a relationship with him. Now, I want to do that thingy on the board again like I did the last time. I'll do that here in a few minutes. But I'd like to look at a few scriptures. Mark 11, I want to start with that again. And I want to look at a few more, and then we'll get into some other things here about how it actually works. Prayer and forgiveness, how are they connected? Mark 11, and I thought I put down here, yes, 24. I think I wanted to start reading earlier than that. Let me see if I can find it here. 24, verse 15 is where I want to start this morning. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it, and saw how they might destroy him. For they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, you remember this story. Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe in those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire. And this is amazing promise. When ye pray, believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. And it's almost like Jesus is talking about a lot of other things. He's talking about covetousness. He's talking about the temple, the being the house of prayer. And he's talking about making it a den of thieves and all of that. And then almost out of the blue, he says, when you stand praying, forgive. And I think there's a real connection here that sometimes we miss. When you stand praying, forgive. And it is right after this amazing promise that you shall have whatsoever you ask. That is That's what we want, you know. We just talk to God and get whatever we want. Just treat him like a genie that, hey, if I do this right, well, I get whatever I want. All right, let's look at another scripture here. James 4. James 4 and verse 1. And if you memorize the book of James, you know what that is. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. There's prayer. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? And here is this connection again. It has the thing about you asking and not getting what you want. And it has this thing about covetousness and prayers not answered. Ye fight and war and have not. Now, I think it was mentioned maybe in Sunday school class about we Americans have a lot of things. And it was statistics or something. And I don't remember exactly what all it was. But our suicide rate is really, really high. That had to do with connection of happiness. That's interesting. It's very enlightening if we let it be. Loving the world. He talks about that here. Friendship of the world is enmity with God. And you know how it is. You and I live in the world, and we're connected to the world. We've got to have money to a certain extent to live in this world, and we gotta but there's a lot of things there that we need to think about. That's not my subject this morning, but my subject is prayer and prayer not being answered. And one of the things that I think often enters into this forgiveness subject is money. Money enters into it, or covetousness. However you want to put that. It enters into our relationships. I don't know how many relationships. Well, just think about passing on the inheritance. How many relationships have been ruined over family inheritances? And it happens among our people all the time. If you don't know about it, you just didn't grow up yet. No, you just didn't get old enough that your parents are getting to this point and you have siblings scrapping over. It just happens all the time, okay? And it's disturbing. Okay, but that's not the only reason that relationships, that's not the only thing that happens in the forgiveness and the blocking of prayer. It's not the only thing, but it is one of the major things. I was going to look at another scripture. 1 Peter 3:7. You might think this one's a little strange, but likewise, you're not there yet. It's talking about the wives in the first part, and it says, likewise to the husbands here in verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And what I simply want from this, I'm not getting into husbands and wives and that relationship, but it's simply this, that relationships affect, it's possible that they can affect our prayer life, or they can enhance it, one of the two. It's very much a part of our prayer life. All right, we'll maybe touch on that later again. Okay, I'll draw this circle up here. You probably remember it, but and we're going to put here. I put the word rejection or reject and I didn't do a lot of explaining about it last time, but there's a lot of things, maybe I did a little bit, but there's a lot of things that can happen to us that are difficult to forgive, but this is one of the ones that is difficult. I talked about money, that can be a hard thing to forgive, but rejection is one of the things that is more difficult because it has to do with who I am. And then, we talked about this anger. And I want to go through some of these and just talk about them a little bit more. That's why I put them down here. And bitterness. And we've got this guy here. And he's got a big frown on his face because that's the way it is. And you could probably put other words in here. This is what makes sense to me because partially, it's my experience that is entering in here, and so getting them all here. I didn't hear this very well. Critical spirit is what we should put, but we're just going to leave it there. And again, here in this segment, I think there can be a lot of other things put in there. If you think about, I don't know how much you read about countries that are at war, our country is at war too, but in some ways, that's a little bit different scenario. But countries that are at war, there's just there's an unforgiveness, and there's all of these things. And then you have this, it comes around to a fearfulness because of what is the other country going to do, or the other tribe, the other, and you have this setting up of the dominoes again, and you have this whole cycle just being repeated in, again and again and again. It's just, there's a lot of books out there that explain that cycle or talk about it enough that we can understand it. Okay, so how can I, we'll maybe talk about rejection in a while, but how can I pray, or what happens when I try to pray with anger in my heart? Anger is an emotion, and anger is actually not all bad. God gave us the emotion of anger. And there is a sense of, we like to call it righteous indignation. You know, we justify any anger that I have and we say, well, it's righteous indignation. Well, there is a little sense of that. I'm not sure if we're always accurate about that, but anger is a God-given emotion. And it is when our sense of justice is violated, there's, you know what it is, there's this thing that rises up. How can I pray, or how do I pray when I'm angry? I think pretty often when I'm angry and I try to pray, and we should try to pray, by the way, when we're angry, we need help, we need God's. But we want God to right the situation. We want him to take revenge on whoever caused us the hurt. We want to... One of the things that I find interesting about my own carnality is I can find a psalm and a verse that'll fit just about any situation. That anger, that we beg God to take revenge. Now, the reason I opened with the thought about the gospel of forgiveness, try to put yourself in God's shoes. How's God supposed to respond to a child of his that is begging for him to take revenge on somebody else? What's God supposed to do? Maybe you parents can kind of feel that a little bit. How are you supposed to respond when one of your children does that? What do you do? What is God supposed to do? You pray that God would take your side. I don't know how your experience has been, but I have found a silent God when I am angry and when I hold anger in my heart. I have found a silent God. And I think there would be other things that... But prayer becomes meaningless. Prayer becomes empty when we do not have an interaction with God, when there's no reciprocation. The next one there is bitterness. We don't have a lot of time, I guess, to... I didn't think it was going to take me this long, but... I believe Brother Tim talked about attitudes, what was it, 2 weeks ago, I think, on... And you know what bitterness is? It's this flow of negative attitudes coming. And I'm not always sure. I've talked to bitter people. I've had conversations with bitter people. What are you supposed to say when somebody just pours out bitterness time after time? And you talk to them and... It's poor me, and life has been so rough for them, and I was so wrong, and got the short end of the stick. And again, think about how should God respond? How should he respond to you? Should he coddle you? Should he tell you that he loves you? How should God respond to you? I don't know, but again, I found this one I think has entered in more into the, not just a silent God, but I find condemnation before God. You don't know what spirit you are of, Jesus told his disciples when they talked about this bitter, this feud with the in that scenario, we don't have time to just look at it, but in that scenario, there was a feud that had been going on for years and years, and there was bitterness there. It was unreasonable bitterness. And then we get to the cynical part, and I think we know what we mean by cynical or cynicism. Cynicism, we become distrustful of people, and we're going to withdraw because some of these things have worked, and in our hearts, the bitterness especially, it's worked in our hearts. And it's not necessarily, not all these things are exactly in order of how everybody faces them. This is what makes sense to me, and like I said, because of my experience. But we grow cynical. We grow really distrustful of people. And if that's how people are going to treat me, I'm just going to draw into my shell. And I'm not going to be, I'm not going to let myself be hurt again. That type of thing. And then we have vindication. I'll try to defend myself. And I wonder, what does God do? I kind of think he says, well, if you want to defend yourself, I'll let you. That's my experience. Some of this I don't have scripture for necessarily, but it's just simply. How I understand it, I guess, is probably the best way to say it. And then we have control. And again, control is very connected to vindication and cynicism. We try to control other people, try to make them do. We try to make them feel the hurt that we feel or we thought we felt. That's typically. And we try to force them into this corral and get them in a head gate just like we were or whatever, that type of a thing. Try to control them. Suspicious of everybody. Suspicion, that is a part of that. Critical spirit, of course, that goes right along with that. And then we have fear causes us to get into that fighting mode again. And we begin that cycle of rejecting. And often this cycle of rejection it ends up being in our children. It's second generation, not entirely. That's not the only time that it happens, but it can be observed in generational. Now, of all of these things, which one is the most likely spot where you can pray and God will hear you? What do you think? Anybody? At the beginning of the cycle. That is exactly right. Now, God can hear the sinner's prayer at any time, but in our rejections, that is when God hears our prayers. If we are willing to forgive, and that changes the whole circle. I think I will take the time to just change each one here. I think it gets it in our mind a little better if we see it. So instead of being angry, and we still are angry, but when we ask God to help us forgive, we find freedom. This is, I wish that people could understand this thing of freedom. It is one of the most wonderful things that we can have, and we have joy. And again, there's There's lots and lots of things we could put in here. We have heart peace. And again, differentiate this between peace with others. But we have to have heart peace first before... And we have love. We can empathize. We can even with those that hurt us. Instead of trying to prove ourselves right, we simply are at peace with others. I don't know how to encapsulate everything there in a few words, but instead of control, there's humility. And along with humility, there's trust in God to take care of the situation. And I forgot to put Mr. I on the cross here. Because this is really, really important. We got to change this too. It's amazing how that changes our attitude. We have positive communication. I might have this at the wrong spot, but I think it was supposed to be up here on top. I think it matters too much. We have joyful service. Instead of fear and hopelessness and a beginning of setting up the dominoes and starting the circle again, we have hope and endurance. Patience, maybe the Bible talks about. Instead of rejection, we have acceptance. We have acceptance with God, and I think eventually we find acceptance with everyone else too. All right. Just a few thoughts that I'd like to talk about yet before we move into just briefly. I want to just briefly go around and talk about some of those things and how that... Maybe it's obvious that it builds prayer life and it connects to it, but I think it is in some ways, but just helping to think through it a little bit. When we are unforgiving, at the very least, we find a silent God. And at the very most, we find condemnation. And eternally, we find condemnation. But I'm speaking of here in this life, we find condemnation. We find God. We get into his presence and we just don't want to be there. We find he just doesn't like us. He's condemning us. Jesus talks about, and I think I talked about this the last time a little bit, that that servant that went out and took his fellow servant by the throat. God eventually, or the Lord of that servant, put him in prison and delivered him to the tormentors till he would pay all that was due him. Now, some people feel like those tormentors are in the future. Maybe it's the demons in hell or something awful like that. But I think that it's now is when the torment begins. Freedom is possible now from the tormentors, no matter where we are in our lives, if we are willing to forgive. I also think, I forgot to say this earlier, but Brian mentioned that this is the last days. And there's a verse, Matthew 24:10. I was thinking about this. Many shall be offended. It's in the Matthew 24 in that about the end times. Many shall be offended. Many shall be offended and shall betray one another and hate one another. And I think about all the church problems. I think about all the difficulties we have. I wonder how much of this is connected. I don't know. I think we're going to see a ramping up of offenses and people being offended and betraying and all of that. And how are we going to make it? How are we going to do? All right. We cannot discipline ourselves enough. When we hold unforgiveness in our hearts, there is no way that you can discipline yourself enough to have a prayer life. Or to maintain a prayer life. Now, discipline is necessary. That's another subject, but I think sometimes we talk about discipline and we talk about, you know, you got to maintain your devotions. And we are a very disciplined people, and that is necessary and it is good. You have to have that for a good prayer life. But that is not the only thing. You cannot discipline yourself enough to maintain prayer life when you hold on to unforgiveness. It is impossible. I think that's safe to say that it's impossible. The words we say will just degrade into a mere form, and there will be no interaction back and forth with God. I think it's important for us to think about that. All right, now, in closing, I would like to talk about, I'm not sure if I should have said that. I got a little ways to go yet. I'd like to talk about trust. One of the things we say is, I forgive him, but I can't trust him. I want to talk about that a little bit. I think it's really important that we have people in our lives that are just willing to stand up to us and say every once in a while, you need help. I had that experience here a little while ago, and it was with my brother, so he can get away with anything pretty much. But anyway, he says, I think that you have a problem. and it was good for me to think about. But here's some thoughts that I think we should think about. I can forgive you, but I can't trust you. Okay. I think it's important for us to give the gift of trust to each other. A brotherhood cannot operate without trust. And we say that, and we say trust is important, and we talk about ways to build trust. But trust, I'm going to say this, and I'm not sure if I'm correct, but I think I am. Trust is a byproduct of forgiveness. It is a byproduct. You cannot manufacture trust. It is a byproduct. And neither, you know, you think about byproducts. Sometimes a manufacturing facility will have a byproduct and they'll market it. But you got to be careful in that. You can't just market your byproduct. It's not your mainstay. That's not what holds your business up. That's the way it is with trust. Trust is a byproduct of forgiveness. And I think sometimes we try to manufacture trust and make it happen, but we don't forgive. I'm not sure if that's making it clear. But Andrew Murray says this. He says, God is not interested in so much how we pray, but how we are when we're not praying. Okay, so now let's go around the circle here a little bit. So think about... I'm not done with trust here. I found another page. I thought I had some more here. There's a couple of verses that I think we should think about. Sorry, my notes are not very correct here this morning. I don't see it, but in Proverbs, it talks a lot about not putting our trust, not putting our confidence in men, but in God. I think that's important that we put, because actually, to forgive, you and I have to put our complete confidence in God. There's no way that we can forgive without taking our confidence from man and putting it completely in God and letting the matter with God, letting him take care of the vengeance, letting him take care of the everything. We don't have to try to control God either. We trust him to take care of it. Trust is very important. Maybe we should turn to this one. John, Jesus gave us an example. I don't find... And you can challenge me on this, but I do not find anywhere in the scripture that we are commanded to trust each other. I find that interesting. I don't find anywhere. In fact, Jesus in John 2, there's three verses here. Verse 23, John 2, 23, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover on the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. And needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. The Bible talks about love, and it talks about forbearance, and it talks about forgiveness, but it does not command us to trust. Trust is a byproduct. That's what I think. It is a gift that we give to each other. It can't be demanded. And I think I'm going to be so bold to say that I know what I'm talking about a little bit. I've had to give up trusting somebody and forgive. Trust in God completely. And I already talked about humility and trust and its connection there a little bit. We're just going to have to keep moving there on that. I think I'm going to skip going around the circle and talking about how that very often, this almost always happens, that when we forgive someone, just give it to God and forgive. I mean, truly, I'm not talking about just toleration. I mean, truly forgive somebody. Do and go through these steps. We will be given the chance. And I'm not sure what it is. We will be given the chance to hold the person hostage that hurt us really badly. And I'm not sure, is that a test from God? Is he testing the sincerity of our forgiveness? I'm not sure. But almost always, I don't know if it's a law of God's that it comes around. I don't understand it all, but almost always we are given that chance at some point, at a later point in life. And I would just refer to two verses about this. I don't have all the answers for it, but Ephesians 4:32, you know that. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. In Colossians 3:13, is very similar. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And I'd just like to leave this part of a verse. That your prayers be not hindered. Shall we kneel in prayer? Thank you, Father God, for your word. And